NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Pitched violence that has broken out in Egypt today between government supporters and opponents of President Hosni Mubarak have resulted in hundreds of injuries and an unknown number of casualties. TV pictures showed the respective sides hurling Molotov cocktails. The violence escalated after some 3,000 pro-Mubarak supporters were apparently able to break through a chain of anti-government protesters camped out in Cairo's Tahrir Square. Ahmed El-Nashar is one of the protesters who's been in the square calling for Mubarak to step down. He says what had been a largely peaceful protest has taken a threatening turn.
We saw camels coming in. We saw horses riding in with people on them carrying weapons, swords, and trying to attack from all the different entrances that lead to the Tahrir Square.
Many of the wounded were reportedly being treated at a makeshift clinic in a mosque near the square. Violent clashes in Egypt's capital drew sharp response from world leaders. NPR's David Green has more from London.
As President Hosni Mubarak's supporters clashed with protesters in Cairo, British Prime Minister David Cameron said he was paying close attention.
And if it turns out that the regime in any way has been sponsoring or tolerating this violence, that would be completely and utterly unacceptable. These are despicable scenes that we're seeing, and they should not be repeated.
Cameron spoke in London after meeting with UN General Secretary Ban Ki-moon, who called for a proper and orderly transition in Egypt in short order. David Green, NPR News, London.
The White House is also out with a warning to Egypt's government, namely that if it is behind any of the violence that has erupted in the streets of major cities, including Cairo, it must halt it immediately. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said today the world is watching what is happening in Egypt, and he said any decision regarding the $1.5 billion in U.S. aid that flows to the country will involve a review of the Egyptian government's handling of the situation there. Chicago is still trying to clean up after a major blizzard that swept through the region. We get details from Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold.
Some parts of Chicago got walloped with 25 inches of snow, all within less than a 24-hour period of time. The storm came so hard and fast, three accidents occurred within a half hour of each other on one major road, bringing traffic to a standstill. As a result, drivers stuck behind the accidents waited hours before finally being forced to abandon their vehicles. Robert Hoff is Chicago's fire commissioner.
The ones that wanted to take their cars home and really wanted to stay, we had to say, it's time out, time to go. We got to get you out of here. It's for your safety. You know, we didn't want to do it, but the bottom line is we have to make the call, because if something happens to someone, we don't want to have a mass movement.
Many of Chicago's main streets are still being plowed, but in the city's neighborhoods, side streets have not yet been cleared. For NPR News, I'm Tony Arnold in Chicago.
On the heels of yesterday's strong finish for stocks, the escalating violence in Egypt also appears for the moment to be outweighing positive earnings reports. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up with just a point and the session at 12,041. The Nasdaq lost a point. The S&P fell 3 points today. This is NPR. Some key jobs figures out today both seem to be indicating new green shoots of recovery in the mostly moribund labor market. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate in December either fell or remained the same in two-thirds of the states it surveyed. Government also says unemployment fell in 207 of the 372 largest U.S. metropolitan areas. Payroll processing firm ADP in its report on January hiring also sounded an upbeat note. The company says its figures show the private sector adding 187,000 jobs last month. The attorney overseeing BP's $20 billion oil spill compensation fund says he expects the Gulf Coast to recover from the disaster by the end of next year. NPR's Debbie Elliott has more on that story.
Claims czar Kenneth Feinberg says final settlement offers will double documented losses from 2010 based on a recovery assessment he derived from canvassing economists and other experts. Feinberg says predicting the lasting impact of the spill is not an exact science.
You cannot get all of the scientists and the biologists and the marine experts to agree.
Oyster harvesters will be eligible for larger payouts, Feinberg says, because it will take longer to determine if contaminated shellfish beds will rebound. Anyone accepting a final settlement must sign away their right to sue. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Lawyers representing the man convicted of killing Washington intern Chandra Levy are asking for a new trial. In filing in D.C. Superior Court, lawyers for Ingmar Gwandike filed a motion for a new trial, citing improper conduct on the part of the jury and improper closing arguments by prosecutors. The jury found Gwandike guilty of first-degree murder last November. Levy was romantically linked to California Congressman Gary Condit. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News.